Amen. Hallelujah. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18? As we begin to go inside, we're now coming to the real issue. We are coming to the sanctuary. Remember, Hebrews 7 talked about the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the holy place and the holiest of all. That is the sanctuary. And we will, when we go to the picture, you will see it. It was beautiful. It was covered. We'll be talking about the coverings of that sanctuary, both in and out. Is the real house of God. Is the real house of God. That's the real sanctuary. It was covered. And we're going to be looking at it, but to make the transition, to really bring us into focus, I wanted us to read that 2 Corinthians 3. Go down. Go a little bit. I think we'll read from about 3, verse 3. He said, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust are we through Christ to God one. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament. That is the covenant we are talking about. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we are going to show that the Spirit is the realm of life. Without the Spirit, there is no life. Now I'm saying it because I know this is where I have a problem, because I'm talking about my own experience. I don't seem to realize the blessing and the benefit of the Spirit. There is no life without the Spirit. Many of us are baptized with the Holy Ghost, but we don't know what it is for, why we were baptized, the purpose of it. And one of the things I hope you can see, and I want to mention it because I may forget, is that if you look at the lampstand, you will see, you will see a flower, you will see a bud, you will see fruit. The Spirit brings fruit. So if, for instance, I'm asking myself, why should I be struggling with self-control when you say the fruit of the Spirit is self-control? So why don't I have self-control? It means that I'm not benefiting, I'm not allowing the Spirit to work within me. Because if the Spirit is working within me, it will have a fruit. The Spirit feeds my mind. The Spirit fills my emotion, fills my desire. And as the Spirit, in fact, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, the way it is translated doesn't really give us the insight. The Bible says that the Spirit of God flows. And as it flows, it brings forth fruit. It brings administration, it brings gifts, it brings fruit, it brings different manifestations. And these are for the benefit of all. So the Spirit brings life. The Spirit is the life, the energy of the people of God. Now, we are a people, we have been so used to functioning without the Spirit, that when we talk about the Spirit, we are lost. The Bible says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against it. So it's speaking of the soul can function and has been functioning. It's like a woman who has not been married for 50 years she has been living on her own. She used to marry living without a woman, without a husband. And you now bring one man who is knocking on the door and saying, yeah, before you do this, you must come and tell me. Say, my friend, I've lived my life without you, so don't come here and start telling me, give me rules. That is exactly how we are. You know, we don't know what it means to walk by the Spirit, to be nourished by the Spirit. No, under. Okay, we don't know what it means to function and be nourished by the Spirit. And that is where this our picture comes in. You know, because the soul of man has function as well as though God does not exist. It doesn't need nourishment from God. It doesn't need, but we have shown you, if I what you call the anatomy, the real nature of man. There's no way the soul can operate on its own. It's not possible. Because right from its own nature, the way God made it, there is a spirit within the realms of the soul that controls the soul. And when the Spirit of God is not there, another spirit goes in. So without the Spirit of God, the soul is earthbound. And that is why you need the baptism, because the baptism is that process of sanctifying, cleansing, you know, consecrating, and beginning to bring the soul into the realm of the Spirit, where it is now submitted to the Spirit, where it receives life, direction, nourishment, and so on from the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit teaches the soul. That's why I said that the Holy Ghost shall lead you into all truth. He shall take the things of mine and show it to you. So the soul is actually in a school to learn. You see, that's why I say you have an anointing within you that teaches you all things. You know, so right now we're not coming into that realm of the Spirit, a place where the Spirit of God is now functioning to teach, to nourish, to prepare, to energize. And the whole purpose of that is to bring my soul to the point where I now offer my soul as unto God, ready for marriage. And we're going to see all this because it's all shown in the tabernacle. The soul has to be prepared as a bride to be joined unto the husband. And that is the work of the holy place. The holy place is a preparatory place where the soul should be prepared to be married unto Christ. You know, so that is the purpose of that. But this place gives us the picture of that, and you know, it gives us a very good setting of going from the old to the new and the veil and all that. So it just describes it. I'll just read it through. That is, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was being abolished. But their minds were blinded. We have seen all that. For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? And we're saying that yesterday, that the Old Testament couldn't, there's no way the Old Testament could have dealt with the problem of the soul. There's no way. You know, because to deal with the soul, you need to go in. And that's why I say, I will make a new covenant and I will put my law. So the New Testament is to address the needs of the soul. That is the purpose of the new covenant. But you see, many of us are still living in the old. in the time of the meal. We are not interested about our feelings. I can quarrel with you and just settle the quarrel. If I quarrel with you and I just settle, that means there's no offering. You understand? Because the minister is the soul. The minister, the 24 elders, say in the throne, we are the four elders, you know so, and the 24 are the four beasts and the 24. Those are languages speaking of the same thing. The 24 elders, 24 means priesthood. The elder means maturity. The maturity that has come within your mind to offer your mind to God. That's what he's talking about. That your mind is now the priest. The priest of God is not the man, the village catechist. It's not the priest or the father. The priest is the soul. This soul that is bound to the earth. The soul is begging, can somebody come and take me up? I need a spirit to lift me up into the realms of God. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is given. Because that's what is bringing the energy. So now, it's like you, I'm sure Sister Bosse will understand. You know, when you have atoms and electrons, you need energy. When you bring energy, the atom goes to a higher frequency. You know so, sister? Without energy, the atom remains where it is. And within us is the same thing. We need energy to quicken us, to lift us up. You know? So it says, even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. And we've explained what the veil is. It's that covering of darkness within the soul. Okay? Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You know, I went to God and I asked him, what is this? What does this mean? He says, it's when you begin to offer your heart to me, then the veil will be taken away. So to turn to the Lord simply means beginning to see God. You know, like you have come this weekend to see God. You may not, like Brother Ewo, you say, you may not see anything. But I'm telling you, the veil is being taken away. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, the veil, something has dropped. You will not go back the same way. It's not possible. Unless you didn't come to God. If you came to God, something must give. And he says, you see, you break through the veil gradually. It doesn't go all in a day. You know? So it says, now, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. So, actually, this is where I'm coming to. So, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is all. It's the Spirit of God that brings life. It's the Spirit of God that brings you from glory to glory. It's the Spirit that breaks the veil. Have you asked yourself the question? How did Aaron pass through this veil on the Day of Atonement? How did he pass? How did Aaron pass through the veil on the Day of Atonement? He had a scissors. Hallelujah. But the man passed. He entered. I believe by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, we have come to the place of change. And the seventh trumpet is the trumpet, is the flow of life, is the life that comes from God into my soul to bring change. He says, we shall be changed in a moment at the twinkling of an eye. So we are going to go on, now that we have got our setting, we are going to go on to discuss this sanctuary. Ugochukwu, can we see the sanctuary? Can we see the sanctuary? So this is the picture of the sanctuary. That's the picture of the sanctuary. And this is the veil somewhere here. Now, this sanctuary had, there were 20 boards, 20 boards on this side. And the Bible said there were 8 boards here. There were 6 in the middle, and then 1 each on the side. Okay? That is the bud. Is it bigger? Is it going to be bigger? Okay. So this is the sanctuary, the bud. Okay, those are the eight buds. Let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There were eight. On the west side, this is the west side. On the east, the same thing. But just that on the east there were there was a door. It's not showing us. This door had five buds. So there were five here. And then the other ones were by the side. And then there were 20 buds. Now, each of these buds, I think I can clean this. Okay, so let's represent the bud. And you say that the bud had, they had two tenons. And then another bud. With the tenons. And then another one. Another one. And then another one. Okay, so you had 20 of these buds. And he says each of the buds was 10 cubits. And there were 20. And then on the other side there were 8. Okay, number 8 is the number of new beginnings. 7 is fullness. And then the 8th number is the beginning, the new beginning. Okay, so it speaks of that. 10 we know speaks of the law, divine order. And then 20 we know speaks of redemption. Okay, 5 is grace. 4 is tribulation. So through the tribulation of Christ's suffering, we had the grace of God. So that's how we have redemption. Now, the scripture says that there were five bars. We're going to read very soon. I just want to draw it. There were five bars. And then these bars were held by rings. They were held by rings. Okay, all true. And of course, these bars were overlaid with gold, you can see. And then they had these sockets were silver. These sockets were made of silver. So he's telling you, and each of these bonds was 1.5 cubits. 1.5 cubits. So what is he saying? My completeness as a brother is in my brother. That is, you cannot stay alone and then you are complete. You need another brother to balance you out. Praise the Lord. You know, so the width of the bond is 1.5. So whatever revelation God gives you, you need another brother. You just have part of it. So whatever God gives me is only part. Even if I talk from now to next year, it's still part that I have. So I need a completion of it in the body. So whatever revelation God is giving you or giving to me, the fullness of it is in the body. That's what he says. So no man, no ministry is an island. So that's why the ministry is in the body. And God is, but that ministry is not ordained of man, it's of God. Paul say, I, Paul, an apostle, not of men, but by God. And then we have seen that our standing, we stand in our redemption. As long as I maintain and walk in my redemption, then I will stand. If I fail, if I lose my redemption, if I do my relationship with Christ, if I am no longer offering myself to God, then I cannot stand. I say, let sin that takes standards take heed, lest you fall. So that taking heed means to maintain your redemption. maintain your relationship with Christ. And the only way you maintain that relationship is to always go to the brazen altar. You need to have a fire from the brazen altar. You need to keep that fire burning. If that fire goes off, you need to go back and get that fire to stand. When once the fire dies, you see that either the man will lean forward or lean back. You know, so, and you also notice each of these boards was kept in order by the other board. So it speaks also about submission. You know, submission is in the body. You don't stand alone, but you need your brother to keep you standing. You know, so we see all that in this picture. Now, maybe I'll just go quickly to it because we don't really have time. Now, these are the bands. But this doesn't show the full bands because there are on the side you have there are five bands, one that runs to the middle, the other one continues, the other one to the middle, and then there is a middle band that runs all through. Well, please now. If you have a video, God bless you, pray so that we can see it. Does he have voice? Okay. So here you have the board with their two tenons. Okay, you have the full. And then you see the socket feet joining to the tenons. So you have the 20 and 20. Okay, this is the west side. And you see the two bolts from the side making a complete. I remember the bars were overlaid with gold. They were overlaid with gold. They were sheeting wood. The wood speaks of humanity. The gold speaks of the nature of God. And then he says you are coupled it on top and below at the end. Okay, here you have the four rods going in on each side. See the four rods. Then that is the middle bar. And it runs from side to side. Is that where it stops? Okay, it's still going. It's showing us now the inside. Amen. Say amen. Amen. It is a brother that sat down and thought about it and did it, and you are blessed. Be blessed by it. Amen. Amen. Do your own and bless the people of God. Amen. Amen. That's how the body goes. There's no meetings. Okay, brother, so you will not do tabernacle by Illuminata. It was somebody who received revelation and did it. And that's part of what we will see. The coverings in the body. They are by the labors of people. Somebody sat down and started counting all the words in the Bible. And they call this Dick Bible. It is a label. And it brings a covering. Okay, so now let's read from the scripture. It's important. It's a long scripture, but we will read it. Because there are two parts. Now we're looking at Exodus 36. Exodus 36. Ola, come and read for me. Come. I'm sure this is very, very familiar to you. You know, he's an engineer, so he knows about these straight lines and all those things. So come and read it for us. So Exodus 36, 8 to 38. It's a long scripture. But there are two parts to it. One has to do with this boss that we have spoken of. The other one speaks of the covering of that tabernacle. So let's read together, and then let's get the scriptural basis. The other scripture for those who are writing is Exodus 26, verse 1 to 37. Exodus 26, 1 to 37. Exodus 36, 8 to 38. So those are the scriptures, so that you can look at them later. Okay, go on. It's in verse 8 now of 36.
The length of one curtain was 20 and 8 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all on the sides. And he coupled the five curtains one unto another, and the other five curtains coupled one unto another. And he made loose a beam on the head of one curtain from his silver in the cover. Likewise, he made me the bottom side of another curtain in the covering of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the head of the curtain. This was in the covering of the second. He loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 dashes of gold, and coupled the curtains one unto another. So it became one tabernacle. And he made the curtains of the gold chair for the tent, for the tent of the tabernacle, 11 curtains made in them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And the couple 5 curtains for themselves, and 6 curtains for themselves. And he made 50 loops from the uttermost edge of the curtain in the bottom, and 50 loops made him upon the edge of the curtain which he covered the second. And he made 50 patches of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram's skin diagonally, and he covered the other skin by both sides. And he made birds for the tabernacle of shooting wood standing up. The length of the board was 10 cubits, the breadth of the board 1 cubit and a half.
We have the covering.
For all the birds of the tabernacle. And the main birds of the tabernacle, 20 birds for the south side southward. And 40 sockets of silver in the middle of 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenants.
Hmm?
2 sockets under another board for
its 2 tenants.
The other side of the tabernacle.
Can you play?
Somebody wants to
play. They can play.
20 boards.
Good.
And the sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the side of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards, and 2 boards made for the corners of the tabernacle on the 2 sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof. So one ring, thus he did to both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 3 sockets of silver, and that ring for 2 sockets. And he made bars of shooting. Five for the birds of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the birds of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the birds of the tabernacle for the side of the vessel. And he made the middle bars shoot through the birds from one end to the other, and he overlaid the birds with gold, and made their rings of gold, places for the bars. And overlaid the brass gold. And he made the veil of the gift and covered it with scarlet, the fine twine linen, with cherubs made in wheat and wool. And he made terms 4 pillars of shipping wood and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were gold, cast me for them to force of them to steal. And he made an handle for the tabernacle of the new and the purple, set in the fine twine of new work, and the five pillars of wings in their roots, and he overlaid them. Tabitha's and their fields to go, but their five circles were crushed.
Okay, praise the Lord. So he's going to show. We're going to see another video of the covering for this tabernacle, so that it makes it to be a bit clearer for us. Anyway, why? Okay, we have it. Full screen. Okay, so explain. So this is the covering. That is the inside of it. Because the first to cover was this cloth made of white, blue, purple, scarlet, and then the cherubims. You can see the cherubims woven. So this, so if you enter the tabernacle, the sanctuary, you will see cherubims. So it tells you it's a spiritual house, it's a heavenly house. It gives you that impression. When you are inside, what you are seeing are these cherubims with the lampstand, shewbread, and altar of incense. And the light from the candle is the only light you have. So it was glorious. Remember, they bought, okay, we see it covering. Now, this is the goat's hair, the second covering was goat's hair, was black. That was the next covering on top of the multicolored design that you have. Okay, now, so these are the bonds. Remember, you said there are 10 of them, 5 coupled and 5 coupled. And then these are the loops of made of blue. There were 50 of them. They were covered and how they were joined together. Now, this is the goat hair that covered. And the goat hair was 11 and 5. So it was, you had extra excess to cover properly. Now, this is the ram skin dyed red. And then you now have the badger skin, which is what the badger skin was like, a fur, a coat. So it was thick. You know, if you see these women with this coat, very, very, you know, the badger skin was, had multicolor, you know, it was very rich and looked very beautiful if you look at it from the outside. So you had the multicolored cotton made of purple, scarlet, blue and white, and then cherubims were woven into it. That was the first covering. And then the next covering was goat hair. And then the next covering was the ram skin dyed red. Can you play it again? Okay. And then the last one was the badger skin. So let's look at it again. So there are 4 levels of covering. So it will show us the joining, how they are coupled. You can see coupled in the middle. It said there are 50 tacks of gold. It's a tack. It's like a pin. That's what they used to join it in the middle. Okay, these are the different, the 11 pieces of cotton being joined together. So I think when it finishes, it's all looped together. This one was stacked of brass. The brass was for the goat hair, and I will explain later why the first one was gold. Then this is goat hair, and you see it droops on the front. It gave a shade on the front part. And then that was the badger skin that covered it. Okay. So what is the message? What is the message of the covering of the sanctuary? Okay, and we've talked about the buds, that the buds represent the individual Christian, and that the Christian must stand in redemption. That's one. Two, we've looked at the bars, and we will normally say that the bars represent the fivefold ministries. Now, somebody talk about leadership. What is the pattern of leadership in the body? The pattern of leadership in the body is that the ministries are not above the body. The ministries are not above the body. I am a brother first. If God gives me a word to give Brother Kenneth, and Brother Kenneth says he doesn't want to hear the word, how does it concern me? I will go and sit down. God and Kenneth will have conference. I don't need to get personal about it. It's not my word. You know what I'm saying? Let me say it again. If God says, go and tell Brother Cash, I come to say, brother, I have a word for you. He said, go away, I don't want to hear you. I said, God bless you. It shouldn't cause quarrel between me and Brother Cash, because the word is not my word. It's God's word. So I will go and say, God, you saw what happened. The man said, I should go away. It's my brother. We are still brothers. You shouldn't affect my relationship. It is you and God. In fact, I've been praying, God, have mercy on your son. So we are not going to get personal. So the ministry is in the body. God's word is for God, and God will defend his word. The ministry is only just a function. So it has nothing to do with standing. You have seen the standing. All the boards are. So in the divine order of God, there is no division. There is nothing like hierarchy, say bishop, apostles, this one. Those ministries are just there as a function to keep the body straight. It has nothing to do with hierarchy. So this brother is higher than this one, and that one is. Now the Bible says, them that minister among you, what do you do to them? What do you do to them? You buy goods for them. When they finish, you bro, there is something that they boot there waiting for you. You go there and they give you goods, and they put inside the boot and you cover. That is the double honor. Now is it also? Okay. He said, bro, have you booked a 5-star hotel for me? He said, no, the apostle cannot come. Apostle must be in a 5-star hotel. Is there a first class ticket? No. The man of God is serving a big God. So the man of God was riding in a first class ticket. Which other one again do you have? One is a primary elder, the other one is a secondary elder. Is it in the Bible? All those things. So all those are man-made things which are not divine, part of the divine. The divine order is very clear that all the brethren stand in the body of Christ. Now, where you have that means it is in the outer court. It's a place of popularity because there are many people offering. Everybody lining up now to make their sin offering. Don't you understand? So the priest, we are stars. He said, hey, come, Erasmus, come and make an offering for me. He said, no, I'm very busy. So you have to drop something now. That's why the problem, the sons of Aaron have problems. Because they have problems because they are stars, you know? But in this one, there is no star. In fact, it says that he that will be the head or chief, what should he do? He should be your servant. And Brother says he's the one that should come and clean your toilet. Say, bro, do you have anything to clean your toilet? Yeah, those are the servants. So it has nothing to do with hierarchy. So you see that very clearly. Our young people, we are not confused. Because in the so-called end-time church, you see the same thing in Pentecost we ran away from, are the things we are now seeing. Say amen, my brother.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. The things we ran away from, we are seeing it inside. And God said, none dare call it deception. So these ministries are there. They are there in the body. They are not above the body. They are in the midst of the body. Say, God has set among you so and so and so. Now, of course, you can see the shepherd's ministry. If you use my hand, you can see the fivefold ministry. The thumb represents the apostolic ministry. The apostolic ministry is not the best ministry. It's just a function that you can see is what keeps the hand together. Okay, that's the apostolic ministry. And you can see it reaches from end to end. That means it gives you a foundation. It's what keeps, is the framework upon which the body is standing. You know? Now, many people do not have an apostolic vision. And because they do not have apostolic vision, they are carried with every wind of doctrine. What is the apostolic vision? That's what we're discussing in the morning, yesterday. That there is a covenant. Okay, this was the vision given to Brother Paul. God took him aside and gave him that vision. And he shared it in the New Testament. He wrote several letters. That is apostolic vision. You're not going to get a fresh apostolic vision. Say, okay, now me too, I have my own apostolic vision. No. It's a vision given. And it's very clear. And that apostolic vision, he told us about the covenant. That's what we read. He told us about the priesthood, the new and the old. And he tells us about the temple. Paul said, no, you know that you are the temple. That man is the ultimate temple of God. That is the apostolic vision. The apostolic vision is not saying that, well, today, you're a junior worker. Tomorrow, you become the permanent secretary. That is not the apostolic vision. That is, the God that took you up will not allow you to come down. So that, you know, see, that is not a vision you follow, prosperity, that God can bless me. All those are not the vision. The vision has to do with God's business, Christ raising up a body. You know, so that is the apostle, and that is the, and God has brought apostles into the body to give this framework. Paulson was such an apostle. But and when he came, he didn't bring a new one. The foundation was laid, so he came to strengthen it. When Brother Jusil came, he came by the same spirit, by the same ministry, to strengthen it. Okay? So God has ministries in the body, and they are moving straight. They are giving you a direction to follow. And the Bible says that the apostolic ministry is foundational. It says they were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Many fellowships, they are just, at best, evangelists. You reach out to you, come, Jesus loves you. You come inside. Every day, Jesus loves you. Will you die with Jesus loves you? You need something else beyond Jesus loves you. You need to get some depth. Amen. So many of the brethren are thirsty, they're hungry, they're dying of hunger. Because every day is Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus, the God that took you up will not bring you down. The God that took you up, eat something else now. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have this. Now if you look at this finger, he points. That is the prophetic direction. It gives you a direction where to go. And there are prophetic vessels. We all can prophesy, but not everybody is a prophet. Amen. We all can prophesy. Me, I don't even know when I prophesy like. Hallelujah. But there are people, when they wake up, prophets, they wake up another dream. You, as you are sitting down now, they have still three dreams. See, your brother, way smaller. They have still three dreams. Amen. Because that is the ministry God has given them to see, and they give a direction. So the prophetic ministry is to, you say, it is for exhortation, for comfort, and to edify, to give a direction to the people of God. So direction on how the church can work with the apostolic vision. The prophetic ministry also brings correction. When the church is deviating, it brings a correction to say, no, you are going the wrong direction, this is the way to go. So the prophetic ministry is foundational, it's so important. The prophetic ministry receives from God a word of wisdom, sometimes a word of knowledge, sometimes he's able to see into the realms of the spirit to give a definite word from the Lord. And there are prophetic ministries too God has sent in the midst of the body, and they are very, very foundational, very, very important. Look at a man like Jeremiah. He was a prophet in the midst of the people of God. He said, look, this Nebuchadnezzar is coming. He will carry you and go. They say, no, don't mind him. He's a small boy like you. When did you even start? It's okay now. They carried him. Everything he came, he said, came to pass. He warned them. And he gave them, but they didn't take it. So the Bible says, believe his prophets, and so you will be prospered. And the Bible says we should not despise prophesying. We need to encourage the prophetic ministry to function, to prophesy, to bring a word. So, you know, and usually it's a word of exhortation to encourage the people of God, to quicken those who are weak. Sometimes you need the sharpness of that ministry, a rebuke. You know, so when we are going down, we need that prophetic word to ginger everybody and give a direction. So, that is the prophetic ministry. It's much more than that, but we have to move on. Then the next one is the longest finger. That is the evangelist, the outreach. Now, this is the one that brings the ministry of God to you, definitely. It brings healing, it brings comfort, it brings exhortation. It's always exhorting to encourage you in the things of God. I know that it reaches out to unbelievers, it also reaches out to the people of God. You know, and usually this is what they say is the deliverance ministry. They're not like the deliverance ministry in the Bible, but we have the evangelist. The evangelist brings good news. He brings the word of the Lord to you and personalizes. You say, look, this is what God is saying now, usually with exhortation. And the ministry of the evangelist is also distributed. In fact, each of these ministries, you find it in the church. Even though some of them are concentrated in individual, but usually you will see the evangelistic spirit in the midst of the church. That's why the church can reach out. You also see the prophetic ministry, a spirit in the midst of the church. People will prophesy, and people will be able to discern prophecies and so on. Okay. Then you have the next one on the marriage ring, where you have the ring. That is the ministry of the teacher. Okay. The shepherd. The shepherd is on the ring. Because that's where the ministry of the shepherd is that which encourages relationship between the believer and the Lord. It's that brings the believer to a place of a loving relationship, a personal relationship, a relationship of commitment. That's what the shepherd does. Shepherd goes down and, you know, encourages the brethren, those who are discouraged, those who are sick, those who are wayward, those who have needs, minister, and so on. We need, and usually this, it's a common ministry usually because of the multitude of the needs that we have. You find out that the spirit of the shepherd is generally spread within the body, particularly among the sisters. You know, you have that spirit of the shepherd to care, you know, to notice those who are, I mean, you might be coming to church sometimes, you see a brother who's always wearing one shirt to church. Most of these brothers will see, but those who have the shepherd, they know that this brother is always, it's like the shirt is always new every Sunday. That means he has washed it and comes. So it's the brother, it's those sisters that will notice, or that ministry that will say, this brother only has one shirt, and we'll call him and give him maybe a few others to strengthen. That's the ministry. And it's important. Maybe that man has a prophetic ministry, but because of his need, he doesn't even care for it. But when you give him food and you spread it, you see that ministry comes up. So we need the functioning of that. And then lastly, you have the teaching ministry, which is a little finger is able to get into the ear. Is that which brings the ministry, you know, and is able to minister it so that people understand what God is saying. They're able to hear, able to remove all the soot and bring the word of God, you know. So we need the five ministries. And you can see that these five ministries were the things that kept the board standing straight. If you remove the ministries, the board will still be standing. Some will be like this, others will be like this, and the whole body will be confused. And that is what's happening today, because the ministries are not functioning. In every local assembly, God will normally bless the brethren with these ministries. And as they rise up, you see that people will stand straight, the testimony will be pure, and then will be right. That is as regards the board. I think we are going to go on. And now we'll just talk about the covering. We looked at the covering. We saw the first one, which was a mixture of those colors. White. The white, of course, speaks of righteousness. It is the foundation of the covering. The Bible says, if you break the hedge, what will happen? The serpent to come. So, if you must have a covering, you must walk in righteousness. The church must stand in righteousness. That is the biggest covering. That is the foundation upon which every other thing is built. Righteousness. The next one was the blue. Of course, we mentioned it yesterday. Blue speaks of love, sobriety, maturity, gravity. And in the house of God, you have all that. You have those who are matured in the things of God. Not necessarily in the age, but matured in the things of God. They are there. And their presence brings a covering, you know, to the younger ones and so on. We have to say, let the old women do what? Older women teach the younger ones. It's a covering, you know, how to cook pepper soup very well. Because there are some sisters, the only thing they know is Mr. Biggs. Is there any sister here who can cook pepper soup? You should answer me now. Does she know how to cook pepper soup? Okay. If you don't know, send them to the older ones to teach them how to fry the chicken very well. Now they are only telling you Royko. Say Royko get chicken. He said, where is the chicken? Say chicken. Chicken no desire, Royko. Chicken is right outside. Chicken is right outside. Go and learn how to make chicken. Leave Royko alone. Because when you start cooking Royko chicken, see your husband said, okay, God bless you, sister. When you go to Royko is not chicken, no. The man wants to eat proper chicken. Don't go and bring it. So we don't want fast food wives. We want proper wives. It's not so, brother. We want proper wives. Amen. Say also with the brothers, the older men must teach the younger ones how to love their wives. Amen. How to teach their wives to pray, the family to pray. Amen. How to bring everybody together and give spiritual leadership. Those are the things, those are the covenants you need in the house. And that what that blue speaks of maturity in the things of God. Now, there is something you have found that the young men don't want to learn. How many young men here have come to my house? Say, bro, I want to borrow a book from you. I have books. Those books, you will never see it. There are not people. But these young men don't want to learn. When we were younger, we used to go nearer to go to Bremer's house. I enter his library. I sit down and read and read and read and read. Now it's not happening. Because there is a spirit that you say, hey, after all, we are all brothers. We are all brothers. So we are brothers. My man, to you never reach. You see, no amen. Amen now. Amen. There is a place for maturity. And it takes time. If you like, throw it up and bring it down. It takes time. Hallelujah. He's not saying the brother is bigger than you. He's only saying that there is a place. Elijah was walking with who? Elisha. He said he poured water at the hands of Elisha. Is it not so? Of Elijah. He followed him. And when the man went, the mantle fell on him. It's in the Bible. We're not talking about Say he desired it. Good. He's not the one that's telling you there that you must look. The man, this man is Elijah, so because you follow him, if he enters anywhere, he carries his Bible like you are already. Not that one. We're talking about in the spirit. Hallelujah. Growing in the things of God. There is no distance. You must. And if your eyes are open, God will show you the same places to go, the ministries to stay under. And yeah, after Yago, let me see that. The times you have been with Brother God, brother, did you learn anything?
Yeah.
Can you imagine traveling with Brother God? That is it. You will see everything now. Amen. Amen. In fact, he will even carry a chair. Brother Mark will come to you and want to serve you. Say, I'm a dead man. You serve me. Jesus. I said, probably sit down. You see them, very humble men. That you learn with it. And how will you learn if you don't come close?
Mm.
When these brothers come here, see some of you, you are so far away, and say, you don't understand. How many of you come near when Brother Bob come and sit down? I say, bro, they ask him questions. How many? I don't see you. They're not hungry. You're all doing, we're all brothers, your brothers. Okay, now, we do brothers and brothers. There is something that if you come, he will open the bag and bring something and give you. Those are benefits you get when the anointing will rub and enter you. Amen.
Amen.
When I went to the US, one brother called me and said, come. He brought one handkerchief. He brought brother, senses handkerchief, say, brother, take. I said, huh? I showed you to Cass. He wanted to take, I said, my friend, you go there. Come and say, this is what I said to Sankachi. I have not showed you before. I'm not telling you if you receive it, get anointed. But at least he did it. I want to put it in my pocket. I go. Amen. There are other things they brought out. They brought me, say, bro, you see this one. He brought one book for me. 50 years in the Church of Rome. I'll be looking for it. The brother comes, say, I take. Those are things you get when you come close.
Amen.
When you are hungry. I remember one sister, I said, if you want the people of God to bless you, do you know what you do? Say you cook food for them first. Hallelujah. When the man has eaten, I say, hey, sister, come, sir, what did you say is their problem? They will pray all the prayers for you. You have to learn to get the people of God to open up and you get the blessing. That's part of this covenant we're speaking of. Many of us, we are not, because we are running alone. We are not. We don't come close. So the sisters, you don't come closer to the older ones. You say, oh, I want Sister Lucy, I want to come to your house for a weekend. What are you going there to do? You can't see how she's serving the husband. When you go there, you will see. You will learn some tricks. She will call you and say, yeah, come. And she will show you. I remember one telling me that Sister Mavis used to call them and say, come. Take them inside and say, this is how you cook this kind of soup. You boil it for 20 minutes. You bring it like this. When you come bring it, the man will eat and his head will turn around. These are experiences that the older women pass on to the younger ones. But the younger ones now, they say, sit down. I say, why should I sit down? Why is your trouser long? What's the problem? Is it disturbing you? So the younger ones, your eye is too high. So the older ones, okay now, let me just stay on my own. I don't want to bring correction. I have seen some of the older ones correct some younger ones here, and it was a problem. Come and sit there and say, why should I sit down? Yeah, your husband has, yeah, my husband has, any problem? Yeah, your mother, I am my mother. Any problem? You see that, so? All of you carry picking, me I carry picking. Any problem? Hallelujah. You carry picking, I carry picking. Any problem? You dey feed my domot, I dey feed my domot. Any problem? I come beg you food, you dey feed me. You dey feed me. So what if you have problem? I beg you, you have a liver. We are all here, children of God, we are serving the Lord. Amen. Okay, we should say amen. Hallelujah. There is a place for proper fellowship. Hallelujah. There's a place for young people and a place for older people. It goes both ways. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the blue. We can't push it too much. Then you have the scarlet. Scarlet, of course, you know, speaks of blood. That was the redemption. That was the covering. As the covering of the blood. We've talked about it before, so we won't push it too much. Then you had the covering that came from the purple. Now, the purple is what I say, yesterday we say it is the dominion. In fact, we say it is royalty that comes from dominion over darkness. Of course, they will tell you purple means royalty. But how do you get that authority, royal authority? It's by overcoming. So as you overcome darkness, there is an authority that you receive. Amen. In this church, there are some things we have overcome. That's why we have some strength, isn't it also? We have death with traditional marriage, at least. Isn't it also, brother? I can speak with authority. It's a covering. There are some of you who say, if you don't know the battles we fought, you just come here and say, you don't give that. Do you know how what people went through? Then we went somewhere, they said, to bring football, isn't it also? How many of you know about football? They went to Bali, they said they should bring football. The youth team wants football. It's okay now. If the youth team cannot go to market to buy football, it is us that there should not be any marriage. We stayed there for how many hours, brother? 4 hours. On football. So we said, thank football for them. And I said, back down, bye now. Hallelujah. There have been battles. And then out of that came, we say, we don't do traditional marriage. And you think it's very easy. That is what they call the covering that comes by overcoming darkness. So when you overcome, God gives you an authority, and it's a covering that is there in the body. Praise the Lord. And then the cherubim that were woven, and the cherubim act as a covering also, and is there in the body. So that is the first level. The next level was the goat's hair. Now, what is goat? What does the goat represent? Who can tell us? What does the goat represent? Stubbornness. Gosan wanted to say stubbornness. What else does the goat represent? Chooks. Yes, chooks. What does the goat represent? What else? The wheel is stubborn. Then how can stubbornness be a covering? How can stubbornness be? Okay. Well, if you look at it from the other side, you will see what it means. That stubbornness also speaks of carnality, isn't it also? Now, for you to be able to get goat skin, goat hair, that means you must have killed the goat, isn't it also? God killed the animal and took their skin and did what? Covered Adam. Amen. So when you offer your carnality to God and you lay down your carnality, it becomes a covering. That is the strength, the overcoming that comes from that offering is what becomes a covering to the body. And there are many people who have done that and who will continue to do that. So for where the flesh is judged, there is a covering. You go to some fellowships, it's difficult to even minister because you can feel the flesh. It's so strong. I was in a place where a brother was talking about people wearing, sisters wearing trousers, and he was shaking. He couldn't even talk. Hey! Because he knew the consequence of saying sisters should not wear trousers. Hallelujah. He knew the consequence of that because they were going to deal with him. Hallelujah. That is where there is no covering. But where there is covering, of course, man can cover that. My friend, he don't do it. You know. So carnality is a problem. But when it is yielded to God, there is a strength that comes from that. And it acts as a covering over the people of God. And it's a strength. The third one is ram's hair. Dyed red. The ram, of course, if you look at if you read Leviticus, one of the things common animals used for sacrifice as an offering was the ram. The ram speaks of strength, isn't it also? The strength of man, the force of man. That itself is a covering. It speaks of the covering, the offering that was made by the Lord. The covering also that comes when we come under the covering of the blood. And then finally, badger skin. It was very difficult for me. I had to look and look to see what it means. And it appears Some will say nobody knows what it means, but I think when I looked at some of the translations, the badger was a sea animal that had four. And if you look at what the four means, it means a thick covering of hair. If you look at your skin, of course, your skin is not smooth. It has a covering of hair. What does the hair do? It traps air. And when it traps air, what does it do? It keeps you warm, isn't it also? And the hair also is protective. It helps to keep some germ and, you know, things, foreign bodies off the body. So in that environment of the desert, it was necessary to have a thick cover. And they use the word a seal. So it was so thick that the elements, the wind and all those things, could not go in to affect the other things that were there. So it was a very thick protective covering, you know. And so you had the badger skin that covered, which was very, very thick, you know. And again, that is what you find in the body, that there's a covering. And this covering has come from different, you know, the labors of different brethren over time has provided that covering. So I think we will stop there regarding the covering and then move forward with the other things. So we are going to go to the three. What is that? Four, yes. F-U-R. A four, that's what I'm saying. Four means something like a wool, a coat, a thick coat. A thick coat. Can you, how do you describe wool? Sister Bosa makes a sweater. Huh? Something like that, but it's thick. You know, it has thick. If you look at, which animal has the four now? A hair, cat. If it's abroad, of course, every winter coat, the good winter coats have four, you see them. Some of them multicolored, you know, kings. In fact, Sister Ruth, the things that your magistrates wear, that fluffy thing that they put on their dress, that is a four. Particularly these SAN who have silk. They have some, the judges, not just the wig, they have on their, yes, that is the four. That is the four. Okay. So it's rich, you can see it's very thick. Uh-huh. That is the four. Okay. So now we are going into the tabernacle and we are going to look at the table of shewbread. The lampstand and then the golden altar of incense. There are three of them. Okay, and we said, now if you look at that, can we see that photograph again of the sanctuary? So if you enter through this door, remember, by the way, the door had five pillars. And you know what five means? Five represents grace. It stands for ministry. Jesus says, I am the door into the sheepfold. Isn't it also? You must go through Christ to enter. And remember, we are saying this is the journey of the soul. The soul, this is the movement of the soul from outside, from the realm of darkness, kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. The soul comes to the first place where it is judged. There's a judgment of sin, carnality, and all that. It moves forward. It comes to a place of cleansing, of baptism, consecration, sanctification, and it begins to come into the place of death to self. Sin is judged, but the main problem is not dealt with. That is the problem of self. Okay, so the place of the baptism is the beginning where self now begins to come into question. And to be able to deal with self, there are three ministries, three experiences. One, the experience of the table. Two, the experience of the lampstand, And three, the experience of the incense. Those are the three things that bring the life of Christ into the soul. Remember, if you come to this picture, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes into the spirit, the soul is still a wilderness. The life of God is not there. The knowledge of God is not in the soul. So the purpose of the holy place is to bring the soul into the realm of the spirit, where it begins to receive ministry from the spirit. That is the purpose of the holy place. It is a temporary place that you are supposed to receive life and then move on into the most holy place. It is not designed to be a final destination. It is a temporary place that we receive life and then we are supposed to move on. So, the first of those places is the shewbread. We're going to read the scriptures regarding the shewbread, the table of bread. You find it in Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Exodus 25, 23 to 30. God's time. I don't know. Come and read for us. Exodus 25, come to the front so that you can catch you on camera and get your voice. 25 to 30. Exodus, we are reading the scriptures regarding the table of shewbread, Exodus 25, 23 to 30, and then 37, verse 10 to 16, and then Leviticus, we'll read a few scriptures. Yeah, put it closer to your mouth, yes.
Thou shalt also make a table of shewbread, which shall be the length thereof, and the breadth thereof.
Now go to 37 and read from 10 to 16. 37, chapter 37. Verse 10 to 16.
Verse 10. And he made the table of shewbread, 2 cubits, was a very terror, and the cubit is a very terror, and the cubit they have the high terror. And he over there is Joe, and made terror to the crown of gold and the house. And also he made terror to the border of an hundred travelers, and made the crown of gold for the border of an hundred travelers. And he has for his four wings of gold. And put the wings of all the four corners that we are in the 4 feet narrow. Over the wings of the border, the wings, the places for the stage to get the table. And he made the stage of sitting wood and overlay this to them with gold to get the table. And he made the verses which were upon the table, his dishes, and his clothes, and his words, and his sword. And he saw us cover the door of pure gold. And he made the candlesticks of pure gold.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Now, go to Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. Yes, read from 5 to 9.
And thou shalt make, and thou shalt stay fine cloth, and make 12 days thereof. 2 hats, 2 tents, you shall be in 1 day. And thou shalt make, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be upon the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it rather before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute.
Okay. God bless you. Are you tired of reading?
No.
Good. Not bad to level. Not bad to level. Read from verse 6 to 9.
But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside the manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the coriander of the color of
this one, they didn't
go. And people went about and gathered round and ground it in meals, of it in water, and baked it in pans, made taste of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of
flesh. Please, now.
And when the Jesus fell upon the ground in the night, the man fell upon it. Then
what is that?
The people
weep. No, it's okay. Now go to Psalm 78. This is not good, this one. Because there was no crown, man. It's double. You didn't get it. No, I won't show this one. I won't show it. 78 verse 25.
Okay. 25. Man gives angels food. He sends them meat to be full.
Okay. So man did eat angels food. He says, okay, read them Psalm 105 verse 40. Psalm 105 verse 40. Don't worry, we'll soon finish. We've done very well. In the next few minutes, we should be rounding up.
105
verse 14.
Yeah, 105 verse 14. People ask and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven.
Okay. The people asked, and he brought and he satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 33, 51 and 58. 33.
For the bread of God is
he.
He which cometh down from heaven and given life unto the world.
Okay. 51.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will eat is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Okay, 58.
This is that which came from heaven, not as your father did in this manner. And are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Okay, thank you very much. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so all these scriptures, beginning from the Old Testament, going up to the New, they give us the basis of the bread, this bread. If you look up on the board, there were 12 of these loaves. They had two rows. What's the difference between a row and a column? A row is horizontal. Is it not so? A row is horizontal, column is vertical. So say two rows means horizontal. There are two. So that's what we have here. And then there are six of them. Okay? And then six on each to give you 12. Of course, the table was made of shitting wood overlaid with gold. But the special thing about this table, two things, was that it had two borders, a double border of gold. A crown of gold. They had a crown of gold pointing up and another one pointing down. I was going to read, I think we read it, Revelation 10, where he says, take the book. When he ate the book, what happened to him? It was very sweet. But when he entered his belly, what happened? He brought bitterness. Bitterness is of what? Repentance. Is it not so? Good. So that's every true word of God must have those two effects on you. So if you're in a place where it's sweet, 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 there is no repentance. So when you come, why are you making the people of God sad? The true word of God must make you to repent. So if you're in a place where everything is honey, 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 everything is double, 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 everything is double, double, run away. When they start singing double, double, say, brother, I am coming. Run. Amen. You don't need anybody to preach to you. Too much double, double, run. Hallelujah. Because it's not balanced. So that is what he's telling you. The true word of God must have two. He said the two-edged. One is for, the other one is for who? For you. So when you are preaching, no problem. Just know that everything you are preaching will be tried in you. The word of God must be tried. Even what we are hearing now, there will be a trial period. Now it's sweet. But after this, there will be the practical. Amen. And that is the bitterness. God has to walk in the world. Remember, this soul doesn't know God. Do you understand? This is the first time when the soul is now brought and begins to receive of the life of God. It doesn't know God. My mind doesn't know God. It doesn't know that Jesus is Lord. He's still functioning as a king, as a Lord, doing his own thing. And you're now saying, no, 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 no. It's not like that. When you have a need, you have to pray to God. I don't have to do it now. You do not do so and so. He says, no, no. You must go and pray and find out from God. Should I do it? Should I pursue? Should I go after my enemies? The enemy is there. Kill him before he kills you. It's not like that. You have to, you know. So the way of the spirit is different from the way of the flesh. And when we come to the king's table, it's a king's table. That's where you have the crowns of gold. But we are being trained to also become joint heirs. And unless we die, we cannot resurrect. So every word of God must have a personal application. Many of us we don't have a vision. You say, what's the difference? There's no difference between our church and Pentecostal church now. They share, we share. That means you don't really understand. If you understand, you know that it's different. That the true word of God must have two edges. There must be an application. You know? And then that is what he tells us here. And then we also saw the four rings. There are four rings. The ring speaks of marriage. So this is the wedding seat of the bride. This is the place where the bride is being nourished, is being prepared. And what are you receiving? The bride is receiving of the life of Christ. What does Ephesians 5 say? That Jesus Christ does what? He nourishes and cherishes it even as his own body. So he feeds the body. Every man will feed his wife. Do you have two soups? One soup for wife, one soup for husband. That may be possible, but not in the house of God. In the house of God, they eat the same, isn't it so? Say amen now. Yes. Not wife room, husband room. Wife and husband must be in the same room, isn't it so? That's what you see here. So, Jesus feeds the church with his own flesh. So, he feeds. He nourishes. So when we come together, the Lord is there to feed every man. The way the word is coming is not the way I planned it, but because God will nourish and feed his people. Okay, we can plan and say you do this, you do that, but when you come, it's the Lord that determines the way he's going to be, because he is in the midst and he feeds his people. You know, so this is the king's table. And in the king's table, there's something about the king's table. That what did the parable say? That the king made a feast and invited people. Hallelujah. And when they invited people, what happened? They say, oh, praise God. I have an invitation to the king's house. Brother King, get ready. Is that what they said? When they invited, they said, no, I have married a new wife. Said the king, I cannot come. They went to go. You could say, no, I have got a new oxen. Said the king, I cannot come. They went to the other one. Goya go say, no, I just bought a new land. Said the king, I will not come. And those are different levels of excuses that you find in the house of God. One is ministry, a new oxen. The oxen stands for ministry. The land speaks of possession. The possession may be your work. The possession may be your house. Your car has broken down today. Like my brother, but he went very early, repaired the car, and came and sat down. If he says, I won't come today, look, I must repair my car today. Are we going to fight with you? You won't fight with him. It's a legitimate demand. So what I'm telling you is that there will be legitimate demand of ministry, of land. And what's the other one? Wife, family problem, family signs. They are burying my wife's brother today. And if I don't go, my in-laws will be annoyed with me. So I will just come and look into what people are doing.
Yeah, they do.
You understand? Just as you are doing that, take note. What did the king say? He said, go to the where? Highway and byway. That is the word of God. And in the church today, we have not entered that level of byways and highways. There will be excuses from your workplace. Oh, my work is too tough. You see, we close that place. We close by 10 o'clock in the day. No problem. Just know that when you are closing by 10, that the world is going to wear highways. God is not going to wait for you and me. There is a time fixed for sinning to produce a bride. Remember, the purpose of this word is to produce a bride. The bridegroom is not waiting for you and your share job, you and your university job. The bridegroom wants a bride. He's not going to do for me and say, oh, how many children do you have? Enoch had how many children? Do you know? Enoch worked with God, and God carried him. They told us his children. So you must make up your mind. I must make up my mind that whether oxen or sheep or land or whatever is not going to disturb me. Amen. Yesterday they called me, they said, come to Shell Earth and do something. I said, I knew the devil was playing triplets. Can you imagine all these days? Earth has never called me. It is on Thursday I went to UBC. I was running away. I said, let me quickly come and now come and study and prepare. That is the day Earth is calling me. I said, okay, I knew where the devil was going. I said, no problem. I said, God, what am I going to do now? Because I need to sit down. This is Thursday. I've not drawn my outline. I still have so many scriptures to look at. What do I do? So I quickly ran there. I told the brother, I said, Charlie, I've come to see tomorrow. I'm sending my junior doctor. He said, no, Joseph, we want to see you. I said, I'm coming now. Tomorrow, I'm sending my doctor. So when I got there, I quickly finished. I wrote down there, I'm going to send my junior doctor to come tomorrow. So I quickly came here, we finished. And the following morning, I told them, there is a doctor coming to do it. Because I said, Friday, I'm not going anywhere. And I pray, I said, God, I want them to agree that they don't need to see me tomorrow. And they agreed. And somebody else went and did it. I said, if they don't agree, they carry their share job or F job and go their way. I'm not interested. I want to prepare for... So if you don't make up your mind, the devil will knock you out. The day you want to go to prison, that's when your father-in-law will say, hey, we have come to visit you. That's when they will visit you. The day you are going for a camp meeting, that is the day that the village people have fixed to receive you and make you the highest person in your village. Don't you want an honor? Hallelujah. And the devil will test your commitment. How committed are you? That is, they say, hey, you are now the chairman of the one committee. They will make you the chairman that day before. And if you are ready, then you will plan and make sure that you are not going to be any chairman or going to be anything, so that you will be free to do what God wants you to do. So the world will be trying. And the devil knows your pride. Immediately you drop this one. After all, they can understand. After all, the other brother, am I the only brother? He's body ministry now. Is it not so? He's body ministry now, but Akash is there to lead the fellowship. Why must he be every time? Let Akash pray and lead the fellowship. Me, I will come to the back and see what they are doing and support them. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, I can even do Skype fellowship. I can join them by Skype and be seeing what they're doing. After all, they're Skype in my workplace. There will be excuse. I remember while you are doing that, the word of God has gone to highways and byways. Don't think that there is anything special about MIS, this fellowship. There is nothing special about us. If we do failing, highways and byways. I hope you are hearing me too. If we do failing in this fellowship, God will just jump and go to highways and byways. He wants a bride. He doesn't want MIS. He's looking for a bride. Anywhere he sees the bride, he will. Do you know there are people like us in this Port Harcourt, you don't know who they are? You have never heard about them, and you will never hear. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knees. They know everything, you know, even more. When you are coming here, you have to walk very gently. Don't be walking. Many of us are too. It's like we are the only ones. There are people. Hallelujah. There are people. And they are running. People are running in. So God is not interested in fellowship. Say, my fellowship is not, so forget it. He is looking for a bride. Anywhere he finds a bride, he will take. Hallelujah. So that is the reason. Of course, you see the dishes, the spoons, the covers, and the bowls. So there are different vessels of ministry. I remember the scripture says, in a great house there are many vessels. Some are of gold, some are of wood. It says, if a man purge himself, he will be a vessel unto honor. Those are those vessels, dishes, spoons, cover, and bowls. These are various ministries in the house. If you prepare yourself, if you set yourself aside, God can use you and you will be a blessing in the house of God. Finally, before we leave shewbread, the summary is that the purpose of this shewbread is to bring energy, strength to the soul, so that the soul will be renewed, will be refreshed. When you eat good food, you receive life and you are fresh. You'll be healthy and you'll be able to overcome the darkness. There are two types of seeds. There is the seed of life, which brings the life of Christ. And Jesus is that true seed. Remember I said, the manna was like coriander seed. All they picked was seed. Then they brought the seed, prepared it, and they were able to prepare it into something that they can eat. There is also another seed, and that is the seed of the mixture, the darkness. And earlier on we talked about the soul feeding on violence, the soul feeding on darkness. And what I have learned from my own personal life is that when you are in control of what you eat, you start overcoming the devil. When the day you are in control, the day you are in control of what you eat, you overcome. When you are not in control, where you can watch 3 hours of Hollywood, I died part one, I died part two, I died part three. 3 hours you have died. 3 hours you have died. You put another 3 hours, you die again. Put another 3 hours, you have died. And we're here now. Those 2 hours you are tired. So what is it telling you? They will tell you, you know, they say if your body is craving for sugar, it means there's too much sugar in your body. Is it not so? It's just simple. When you go to the television, what you are doing is to feed your soul. I hope you know. How many people know that? When you are watching Hollywood film, Holy Chapel, there are spirits, the spirit of revenge. You know, so that's what they're feeding you. There was one little girl, the father died, the father was very rich, they took all the land, he suffered, he went nowhere, nobody was there to help him. Then one man now helped him, he became a poor man. Then what will he do? He will now say, hey now, you are cheating me when I was there, so now I will now revenge. You know what they did? Not even. And then somebody will faint somewhere, they close one gate, open another gate, and then, you know. That is what you spend 3 hours to watch. You finish that one, then you put another one. You finish that one, you put the neck at the serpent one. Neck another serpent two. Neck another serpent three. Only you. Meanwhile, tabernacle, you have not watched though. What about end time? Tabernacle, you have not watched. When they put it, you sleep. And you say it is normal. Imagine you enter church, the brother stands up with his Bible. Okay, you people are laughing. As brother now, he comes here. Imagine he comes here, he knows those who are. The man will be waving her. Meanwhile, the sister is. No, let's leave the brothers alone. Why? Because all the time has been spent feeding the soul with violence, with retaliation, with pride, with different passions, burning. Meanwhile, the soul, these living creatures, they are crying for life. See, all creation waited and groaned for the manifestation of the sons of God. They want life. So God needs to help us to draw the line. I come to the point where I don't need CNN. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't watch CNN, it's like you have taken away your life. If you don't watch one particular, in fact, that is the end of life. Hallelujah. That means the soul is bound to the ground. It's feeding on darkness. And garbage in, what's going to come out? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is saying the church needs to rise. By this time, we ought to be sitting down and others teaching us, isn't it so? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray that the next time we will be sitting down and others will be teaching. That's the way it should be. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us make a commitment that we are going to feed the soul. Start somewhere. Don't say, oh, how will I start? Start somewhere. There are so many tips. All the conference, December camp meeting 2001, 2002. Listen to all of them. You will get life. Amen. You can set out time. Maybe Friday. Say, okay, Friday is my day. Or say Sunday night or something. A time to just look through your notes. Listen to some of the old messages. And, you know, design something. In fact, that's how quiet time came. It was a time to just be alone with the Lord and receive. But many of us, we don't even have quiet time. Quiet time can be any time. It's good in the morning. But if you work as a medical student, I could never have it in the morning. So my quiet time was late at night, by 1 o'clock. When I have finished, everybody is sleeping, that's when I pray. It can be any time, based on your work. But you need a time to feed the soul. You need a time to get the word of God in, so that your soul can be changed. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go on to the next, the lampstand. Now, I'm going to show you something. You go bring your own, I'll bring my own too. This is my own. So this is the lampstand. So pass it around. If you have not seen it, you see the real lampstand here. So pass it around so that everybody will see what the lampstand is. Okay, I'm sure you know where I bought it from. Okay. Okay. No, it's not perfect. This one, just look at it. It's not perfect, but yeah, at least it gives you. It's not there. Pass it around. Let everybody have a look at it. Okay. Oguchukwu is also showing us his own. What they are making is not really, well, it's close to it. Okay, can you steady this one? Make this one steady. Oh, is it a movie? Huh? Okay, so this is the lampstand. In some places they call it candlestick. But the original one says lampstand. A candlestick doesn't give you a meaning. Lampstand is better. I will show you. No, when we look at it, you will see why. So let's look at the scriptures. Let's see the scriptures. We're almost ready to finish. I'm rushing you. Okay. Suffice to be so. So Exodus 25. Procletus, can you come and read for us? Cletus, come and read for us. So, Exodus 25, 31 to 14. Okay. Exodus 25:31-40.
The candlestick of pure gold, of the eaten world shall the candlestick be.
Go on, no mind.
The candlestick shall be its shafts, and its branches, its bars, its flowers shall be of scent, and six branches shall come out of the first side of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds. The north and the fly in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, the north and the fly, so that the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds in their north and their flies. There shall be the north under two branches of the stem, and the north under two branches of the stem. Under two branches of the stem, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knots and their branches shall be of the stem, and it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps well, and they shall light the lamps well, that they may give light over against it. And the fowls thereof, and its small dishes, thereof shall be of pure gold. And the talent of pure gold shall be made without his presence. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which shall shoot thee in the mouth.
Okay, let's read 37 verse 17 to.
And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of written work, made he the candlestick. His shaft, and his branch, his bars, his knobs, and his flowers, were on his stem. And six branches going out of the side thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. Two bowls made after the fashion of Aaron's one branch, a knot and a flap, and three bowls made like Aaron's another branch, a knot and a flap, so trapped the six branches going out of the candlestick.
Okay. No, read Zechariah chapter 1. Can we have Zechariah chapter 1? No. We'll come there. Let's go to Exodus 30. Exodus 30. Verse 22. Exodus 30, 22. 22-33, yes.
Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou some to thee, this is the spice of pure men, 500 shekels, and of 6 cinnamons, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of 6 carats, 250 shekels.
No, I think we're looking at the wrong thing. Just give me a minute. I think I've given you a wrong reference. Just 1 minute. Okay, go on. Start from 22 again, please. Sorry.
Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto the principal spies of pure men, 500 shekels and of 6 cinnamons, half so much, 250 shekels, and of 6 pounds, 250 shekels, cash shall 500 shekels, after the shekels of the sanctuary, and of all the money and the gift. And thou holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation of Aaron, the ark of the testimony, and the circle around its sources, and the candlestick and its vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its treasures, and the laver and its fruits. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me the priesthood of this. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, they shall be a holy anointing oil unto me first and generation. Upon that soil shall it not be poured. Neither shall you make any other like him. And after the conclusion of this, it is holy and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compounded any like this, or whosoever put any of it upon the center, shall you be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses,
okay, have you finished? 33, okay. Now, look at Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24. Verse 1 to 4. Leviticus 24, 1 to 4.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they do not to be pure out of the sin for the life, because the life is one continually. Without the guide of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall everyone order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord consumer. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. It shall order the lambs upon the pure candlestick before the Lord's consumer.
Okay. Now, finally, let's look at Exodus 27, 20 and 21.
And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they may be pure oil of the beating for the night, to cause their land to burn out. The tabernacle of the congregation without the fire, which is for the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute
for the generation of the. Okay. And then we'll take the last one from Proverbs 20, verse 27. This is the most very popular one. Proverbs 20, verse 27. I read. Proverbs 20, verse 27 is a very popular one.
The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. Rational the inward man of the
head. Okay. Alright. So thank you very much. So all these scriptures give us the picture of the tabernacle. Show this. So we are looking at the lampstand. Like you can see, it's all gold. From the way they made it, everything was from one piece of gold. And then they fashioned it. This one doesn't properly represent it. This is more like it. It says there was one central tree, from which you have three branches, and then three branches, and then on each branch you had three levels of fruitfulness. a bud and a flower, actually a knob, a bud and a flower, a knob, bud and flower. A knob, I'm sure Brother Hubert will tell us, when you see a tree, the first thing to appear is the knob, just a small growth. Okay, it's just showing you that at that point a branch is going to come out. That is the knob. Then after that, you have the bud. What is called the bud is, you know, it's what they call sepa. That is the leafy part of the flower, but the flower is still within. Sometimes it is closed, sometimes it's open, but it's a leafy thing. So that is the bud or the calyx. And then you have the flower. Of course, you have the fleshy, colored part of it. And so there are three levels of that. And of course, three, you know, speaks of what? Resurrection. So it speaks of the restoration of life back to this soul. Remember, this soul was a wilderness. We saw it was a wilderness. The life of God was not there. So when you look at this, it tells you, you get the picture of a garden. It tells you the picture of restoration of a place of fellowship. So as the Spirit of God walks in you, it begins to bring forth fruits. It will bring forth bud. It will bring forth flower. Flower is for glory and for beauty. The flower brings forth sweet smell, sweet aroma, and is a place of fellowship. The Bible says the Lord has gone down into his garden to eat of his fruit. That's what you find in the Songs of Solomon. You know, Songs of Solomon. Say, my beloved has gone down into his garden to eat of the fruit thereof. So the Spirit brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. And if truly the Spirit of God is flowing and working in us, we should be having fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love. The love of God, isn't that so? And you say that love is what? Patience. Nigerians are very impatient. And I ask them, I say, why are they all rushing home? When they go home, what will they do? Nothing, just nothing. I ask myself, why am I always rushing? And when I go to them, there's nothing that I would do that I wouldn't have done 2 hours later. So it's a spirit, you know, that is in us. Everybody is in a hurry, and it even begins to affect us. The Bible says that love is it's patient. You know, patient with one another. Patient with even those who offend us. You know, patient with brethren and so on. Are you patient with yourself? Sometimes I find that I'm always in a hurry. I say, what is the problem? Even when I'm walking in five, I say, what is the problem? Walk calmly. Walk calmly. Hallelujah. Amen. Calm down. Take it easy. And take it one step after the other. It's all part of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so of course, when you come near me, when it is 1 o'clock, I'm not sure you want to be around. By 1 o'clock, when there is sun, I'm not eating. I'm tired. My shirt is hanging out. And tired self is the other side. You better not come near the brother, because that's when all the injurious parts are out. Any small thing, why is this man wasting time? Now go out of the car. What is the problem? It only tells you the time the carnality has come out. Hallelujah. What it means is that the Holy Ghost has not gone deep enough. It's still on the surface. And with all these years, the dealings of God in most of us is just superficial. I remember when they told that story, in the days of Wine Brigade, do you remember Wine Brigade? They said everybody should line up. Everybody, and this was in the motor park. Everything went well until somebody stole the chairman's post. The man said, let me tell you, if I don't see my post, why the grave will stop here? Hallelujah. And the man scattered everything because somebody took his post. Now, that's what happened to us. Everything is okay until somebody touches us deep, deep down. and then the beast rises. I pray that God will be able to slay this beast. To go read this down. And the Bible says that wisdom has slain her beast. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost should do. The Holy Ghost needs to go real deep down, soak in, hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is so and so, amen. And it shows you so eloquently of bringing forth the various fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in us. It's the same Spirit. Some people are preaching that where Jesus overcame, we cannot overcome. That's false doctrine. It's the same Spirit. And the Bible says that if the same Spirit that was in Jesus be in us, that same Spirit will quicken the mortal body. Hallelujah. We are looking at the doctrine of Christ. He says we are joint heirs with Christ. There is a call, and that is that we are going to be made joint heirs with Christ. Christ is the Son of God, the second person. And the Bible says that we are being elevated to that sonship. So, can you imagine where the man is coming from? Where the soul is coming from? The soul is coming from hell, and God is taking it to the highest. We are going to the highest. Do you understand? Now, if you see that vision that God is taking you from the sheet and taking you to the highest, then there is nothing you cannot suffer. There is nothing I cannot suffer in order to be able to win this fight. Paul said, I have counted all things but dung, that I may win. Even one man went and sold everything he had that he might win Christ. Have we seen that vision of Christ? Is this so important to us? Is this so important to us? Brother used to come to fellowship early. Immediately he gets married. That is it. Too. He now comes to church by 1 o'clock. Say amen, my brother. Does it happen here? Brother comes to church by 8 o'clock. Immediately he gets married. Shabbat. The next time you see him is by 12 o'clock. He has children. How to get my children ready for church? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, inside this wick, inside this lampstand, and you can see it here, they had a wick. There was something like a wick in which you contain the oil. So the wick stands for the humanity. The wick was for the body, was for the soul, and for the spirit. Now, the wick is within the shaft, and there's oil, and the wick is not consumed. That is the anointing of the Spirit. Now, when the Holy Ghost anoints you, you will do what God wants you to do without producing soot or without producing smoke. Amen. I remember Brother Sam was telling us about it, that when the anointing is there, because of the anointing, the flesh will not be burnt. Amen. And true service is that service that is brought effortlessly. That is, you remember the story Brother Huber used to tell us about the sister who used to cook food to go to the hospital. She was doing it so well. The right sister was doing competition. Yeah, she can cook. It's not by 6 o'clock. I'll be there by 6 o'clock. Before she gets there, the other one has gone there by 5:30 and put her food and gone away quietly. She's struggling. Before she wakes up, the other one has gone and carried the food and brought a new one because she was doing competition. There was no anointing. It wasn't her ministry. That to say that every joint does what? Supply. So if you are anointed, function where God put you. God might just hide you away somewhere. You are just praying. Nobody knows about you. God rewards faithfulness, not openness. Hallelujah. It is appointed amongst you all that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. When you come to this church, there are some people who have arranged the place, swept it, You come, everywhere is clean. You come and sit down. You're not crying. You say, God, have mercy on me. Somebody woke up and swept this church. Arrange everything, even put flowers sometimes. And you just carry you. You come and sit down. And say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You don't know somebody came early. Hallelujah. Some people will get their reward. Some of us will just be floating because our eyes are not on the ground. Amen. So the weak speaks of the anointing. And we have read it says that the spirit of man is the candle. Is the candle of the Lord. Bringing a true anointing that flows down. Hallelujah. The oil represents the energy of God. The oil represents the energy of God that comes to quicken the whole energy, the whole dimension. Hallelujah. I'm just feeling that maybe we should close. We still have a few more, but we'll just leave it. We'll see how we can go tomorrow. Okay, we should close. We should finish. Can we take 10 minutes? Can I take 10 minutes? Okay. All right, so let's be attentive. 10 minutes. It's about 10 minutes to 6. So let's see if we can. Just 10 minutes. Now, if you look at this, this picture, there was a phrase that touched me. I want us to read that phrase. Verse 30, Exodus 30, 13. No, verse from 26 to 30. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle. No, leave it, don't change it. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of testimony, and the table and his vessels, the candlestick and his vessels, the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his food. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. What is the implication of this scripture for you and me? What's the implication? If in this physical altar and temple, in this metal, just metal, they anointed this metal and it became holy. How about the real metal? Who is the real metal? You can be holy. Amen. I can be holy. And if I am this new temple, that means God must anoint this temple. That's the implication. God must anoint my mind. God must anoint this for, and that is the reason for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is sent so that he can anoint the soul for service. The real priest is who? The soul. That is the 24 elders, the four living creatures. They must be anointed. That means I cannot just do anything with my mind. Someone says, my mind. It's not your mind. It's being bought with a price. But you see, you have to agree with God that, yes, I submit my mind to you. It's no longer my own. That is the place of offering. I bring my emotions. I say, God, it is now yours. You know, brothers used to tell us, you come to the church, but you are cooking soup at home. Come, bless the Lord. I hope the onions are too spoiled. How are you, sir? Bless of the Lord. I hope the leper has not gone. Who stand my night? Even my, I don't know, where is brother? Are you there? In the house of the Lord. I don't know. Come, bless the Lord. These children that disturb it. In the holy place. Let me try and concentrate. Is that real? Is that real, brother? That's where we are. Because we don't know where we are. The priest. He's the one cooking soup. Once you be asked Sister Yago, Brother Yago is the real priest. Hallelujah. Someone said, okay, that's not church. Let me go to church now. But inside your mind, you're watching Manchester United. Inside church, you're watching, you are here, but you are following all the matches in your mind. You are remembering how Ronaldo trapped the ball. I did. Inside church. Hey, Jesus. Amen. We need to wake up. This game has changed. Amen. There was a time when the physical thing, it cannot work now. It cannot work. The only way is that we have to change. And the only way to change is to realize that the priesthood has changed. The priesthood is the priesthood of these four creatures. They are the priest of God. Now, if I realize that, I know that my emotions are important. If I quarrel with my wife, just forget this solo. Just go ask your sister, come now. What is the problem? I said to then if I start anything, because there is no ministry as long as I am quarreling. Strife. As I said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Immediately strife comes in, you're out, you're disqualified. Because it's very clear. You start strifing, the people are on the ground already. And God is there. They are on the ground. Amen. And the vessels must be anointed and consecrated for service. Amen. And finally, we will talk about the seven lamps of fire. Those, you know, and the scriptures were read in Revelation 4 and 5. And we didn't have time to read them in Zechariah. They all speak of the Spirit of God. He said that these seven eyes and seven horns are the seven spirits of God sent forth. Isaiah 11 talks about their anointing that comes. He said the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of counsel and mind. There are seven spirits mentioned. Say, shall come forth out of the roots of Jesse. Now, that is the anointing that is coming upon the soul.
Amen.
Now, it's the anointing of wisdom. Now, have you ever asked yourself, why is it that I am always deceived by the same spirit? The same besetting sin of yesterday is the same one of today. The one of why? The reason is that there is a wisdom that we need that we don't have. The spirit of wisdom comes, and the purpose of that spirit of wisdom is to give us the ability to see the evil coming and to hide ourselves. That says the foolish man sees the evil and doesn't hide himself. But that there's a word you use. Say the. When you say somebody is, I'm trying to remember the word in Proverbs, somebody who is very, very wise. The prudent man. Okay, he sees the evil and hides. So that means that there is an ability in the spirit to be able to discern where trouble is coming and hide. Brother Isaac was teaching us about the razor, isn't it also? The Nazarite. That there are things that come to you, you know, this one is coming to bring defilement, and you're able to hide yourself. And many of us, we don't have that wisdom, that inward light to be able to discern when the devil wants to bring defilement. You are in the office and something happens. Nobody needs to tell you that this man that has come for trouble. So if you want to deal with it, you're not going to raise your voice. You'll be begging the man, sorry sir, what can we do for you sir? Don't worry, we'll take care of it sir. Why? Because you know it's bringing contention and you want to hide yourself. Now, that is what it means in the spirit. You're able to see where the evil is coming and you're able to hide yourself. There are certain conditions that we know when it arises, you know you cannot handle it. And when, like me, when I'm going to the bank, I pray, I say, God, deliver me. When I see policemen, when I come to get men, because I know that's where I have problem. Or when I'm driving, I want to be the policeman of Port Harcourt. Why is this man driving like this? Why is he driving like this? Did they make you policeman? Drive your car and go your way. Okay, so we have those kind of things that come to us, and we are not sensitive enough to allow God to help us. You know, so the purpose of this lampstand is to bring wisdom to us, to bring strength, to anoint us with the seven spirits of God, and to give us an ability to overcome. So I think I'm going to stop at this point. Tomorrow we'll be able to summarize and then go into the lampstand, the altar of incense. We can't deal with the altar of incense today. We will take it together with the veil and with the ark. So that's part of what we'll be doing tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to have two sessions, one in the morning like today, and then we'll have a quick break. So if we are going to go and benefit, I don't know if we can have a normal church service tomorrow, because we may have to start 1 hour of worship, another 1 hour of testimony. What's the other one? I don't know now. So that means so tomorrow we will come. So let's try and come early so that we can start. And we can see, we still have a lot of grounds to cover. So in normal time, 10 o'clock, we'll start by 10, and then we can start and have a break. Today we didn't quite start too early, and because many of us are a bit tired. So, but we covered a lot of ground today. And you know, today was like foundation, carrying it forward. So tomorrow we'll be able to do the lamp, finish the lampstand properly, do incense, and then veil, and the tabernacle, and then priesthood. So we'll be able to cover those things. But I think God has helped us tremendously in picking up the pieces. There are so many things. I'm sure as it has come, it's like a rain watering the ground. And the seed is there. And we're believing God that the seed will begin to germinate. Amen. Amen. And God will strengthen us to do this more often, to have times of coming together into the Word, studying. And, you know, remember they say pour the water into the pot. Isn't that so? They kept pouring. The day came when the water turned to wine. So that's what we are trying to do. We are trying to pour water into the wine, fill the pot to water, water the earth, break down the hardness, bring softness, bring life, and then the seed will start germinating. You know, all the trees that have died off will begin to come for fruitfulness, will begin to come, life will begin to come, and then fellowship will stir up. We'll have a stirring, you know, a hunger for the Word. The Word of God becomes sweet again. Fellowship becomes sweet. Prayer, fellowship, sharing together. And then life will begin to sprout up. And I believe that we are set for a change. Hallelujah. We are beginning to trim the lamp. We are saying, God, we are ready. Let there be oil. Where there's no oil, bring oil. And, you know, temper it. And then make us ready. So that we'll be like a fit bride. Meet for the Master, meet to be united with the Master. Praise the Lord.